A few months ago, a lady told me that every sermon should have a text. Not a big, long passage of scripture, but a short, easily remembered text of not more than 10 words. Something like, "My peace I give you," or "Go and make disciples." Or the one that Jan gave last week. Do you remember it? He said, "Where are you?" Three words. Where are you? She went on to explain or imply that often preachers go on and on and on and on. I don't know where she got that idea, but they go on and on. They say so much, or sometimes so little, that an hour later she can't remember anything. She needs a short text to remind her what was said, or even more, to prompt her to go on and continue exploring herself. So following her advice, I'll give you a text. But this is not an invitation to switch off and ignore everything else that's said. Just remember the text. The text, which is from the first of those of the Bible readings, is, "Follow me." The words of Jesus to Simon Peter and to Andrew when he said, "Follow me." You'll remember the context. Jesus was starting his ministry and he was baptized by John the Baptist. He went into the desert and experienced temptations, and then he came back starting his ministry, and one of the first things he did was to call together his disciples, "Follow me." It doesn't seem a particularly significant step in the whole ministry of Jesus. In fact, Matthew covers it in three verses. And Luke and John, Mark and John, don't even mention it. It's just one of those things in the lost story. And yet, for Simon Peter and for Andrew, that was a major, major incident. Jesus called them to follow him. Remember, Peter was married. We hear later that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. They lived as a family and probably worked as a little family business. And Jesus was saying, "Leave all of that and come and follow me. An itinerant preacher and a very uncertain future." What a big decision that would be. Life's all decisions, from the very little ones. Shall I have coffee or tea? Which TV program shall I watch? Or from the menu, what shall I choose? Little decisions to very big ones. Like, as in the romantic novel, the boyfriend goes on his knee with ring in his hand and says, "Marry me. Will you marry me?" Big decision. Well, this was a big decision to leave where they were and follow him. I was going to say it's a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but that's not really true. Because even when they left those things and followed him, Jesus kept on saying, follow me. I'm going to Capernaum, follow me. I'm going to Nazareth, follow me. We're going in a boat across the other side of the lake, follow me. We're going to Jairus' house, follow me. Let's go to Jerusalem, follow me. Let's go to Gethsemane. He continually said, follow me. And it was not just physically following him. It was actually living with him and sharing with him and following him through life. That's the history. That's the story in the Bible. But actually, it's very relevant to us, for us today. Jesus is calling and continually calling. Whether you're people who've never actually heard that call and responded, he's saying to you, follow me. And if you're the people who've heard the call and responded years and years ago, maybe you can remember the date and the time and the place and you know just what happened. He's still saying now, from where you are, from this place in your life, continue to follow me. Do not stop. It was a continuous journey of faith. God calls us moment by moment and day by day. I have a little note here. What does this tell us about God? I don't know whether you've heard this, but if you read a passage of Scripture, the one way of looking at it is ask three questions. What does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about mankind, humankind? And what does it tell us about the relationship between the two? It's a good hint. Read Scripture. Look for what it says about God. Look what it says about us. And look what it says about the relationship between the two. Well, what does this say about God? This says God is the God who loves us and continues to call us. Wherever we are, he continues to call us. His patience knows no end. He wants always to lead us on to somewhere new, to somewhere better. This is the God who doesn't give up on us, whatever we've done, however many times we've failed him or ignored him. He continues to say, follow me. And he's saying it to us now, follow me. He'll be saying us through this week and the coming months, follow me. And he's always saying, calling us on to something better. Wherever we are, there's something better. Remember, Jesus illustrated this because he told stories of the wedding banquet, the wedding feast, and the banquet to which people were invited. All good things. He talked about a pearl of great price and a hidden treasure. God's calling us, wherever we are, to something better. It's an ongoing process. It's like climbing a mountain. I don't know whether you're mountaineers or not, but if you climb a mountain, says he from experience, you climb the mountain and you look at and see a wonderful view and you stand there admiring and you think, oh, how marvellous this is. And then the guide says, oh, you're not at the top yet, just take the path a bit higher. So you go on a bit higher and you get higher and you look and you see a marvellous vista, better than the one before. You look at that and you're in awe. And then the guide says, you're not the top yet, going up. So you go higher and you see something even better. And so the story goes on. And in my analogy, there's no clouds at the top. So you never come to, there's not even a top. There's not a summit. God wants to lead us on from where we are now. And let's just be thankful for all the good things we see and experience. But you know, there's even more to come. There's even better to come. Not just in life after death, but in this life, there's more and more to come. Of course, climbing that hill might be way hard going. The track might be tough. And discipleship can be difficult. But the alternative is stagnation. Never seeing the better things. Stagnation or worse. Now, let me remind you of the second law of thermodynamics. Now, I know you all know it, but just in case anybody's forgotten, I'll remind you of this second law of thermodynamics. It's that if anything is hot, it tends to get cooler. If you've got a cup of tea and you leave it for a while, it'll get cold. It took me 3 years at university to learn that. Unless you have an input of new energy and power, like you put the water in a kettle, you switch the kettle on, it'll get warm. But otherwise, everything tends to get hot, tends to get cool. That's true in the physical world, but it can be also true of people's faith. People can initially be so excited about the wonder of experiencing God, filled with new enthusiasm and commitment, but as time goes on, it's very easy to get complacent or lose enthusiasm or lose the vision. It's easy to stagnate or regress. The next thing I'll say about this invitation, follow me, is it's a personal invitation. It's not like a standard package holiday. Do this, do that, do the other. It's actually a word for you personally, and God knows each one of you probably better than you know yourselves. He knows your strengths, he knows your weaknesses, he knows where you are in life, he knows what's troubling you, he knows what thrills you. Just God knows us so well. He knows what's happening in your life now, the things that trouble you, and he knows the next step forward. He really knows. And he can lead us on to the next step forward from wherever we are. And he asks us to take just that step. And what a privilege it is to be invited to step on. It's not just we make a decision to go, we're invited to move on with God. I remember many years ago, probably 50 years ago now or so, I went to a pantomime with my grandson. And the person on the stage, it was a typical pantomime show, and the person on the stage says he wanted help. He wanted some children to come up and help him with the performance. So he said, yes, I want you and you and you. And my grandson knew he was pointing directly at him. And he leaped up and he ran forward and he went up and he joined in. Because he knew that person on the stage had called him. It's a personal invitation. It's like a privilege in a way. May being called up to the English football team or netball team. If you get an invitation like that, you don't normally turn it down. Or maybe you're offered a knighthood. You don't normally, people do. You can always turn down. But what a privilege that God is calling us, inviting us to something so much better. Jesus said to his disciples, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. What a privilege God's calling us. Of course, like the early disciples, we always have freedom of choice. We can either, as it were, take the plunge and move on and follow. No, we can stay where we are. I'm reminded that there are several ways people can impose their will on others. Sometimes it can be done by force, by absolute power, just forcing people to do what you want. Sometimes it can be a kind of powerful personality that can persuade everybody to go ahead. Sometimes it's intellectual superiority. Somebody can give you all the arguments and persuade you to go on. Sometimes it can be an appeal to the emotions. Different ways that people can be persuaded, but God doesn't impose himself on us. God respects our personalities and gives us freedom. We can choose to follow or not. Stay where we are, ignore the call. But he will still keep on saying, follow me. I don't know what it means for you. I don't know you well enough personally. I can't tell you, but I can just tell you that God is speaking to each one of us saying, follow me. Following is not easy. We don't always have a clear route. It's not quite like a burning bush experience or a Damascus road experience where God says, do this. Sometimes he says, follow me, and he doesn't really show us very clearly the way. I think it was Darlene who once said, God isn't a very good guide, really. He's not like a sat-nav which tells you turn here and do this and do that. Sometimes we have to search and seek out. It's like in teaching, when somebody comes up and asks for an answer, sometimes the thing is not the way to give the answer, but to show the route to get there. Not like having a textbook with all the answers at the back. You don't learn that way. You learn sometimes by finding out, seeking to find out where God's leading, where God's called, what the next is. And sometimes we take the wrong steps. We may go off track, but God still says he knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and he says, follow me. So, however you hear a call, and I hope you hear it. I think I had a sermon here once before. I've only preached here two or three times. And one was, he who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray we hear that call. And now I just pray that you will remember the text, follow me. You've heard it enough times. I've repeated it enough times. Follow me. You'll find out what it means for you. And you'll respond.